All right. I know the dinger's about to go crazy here in a few minutes, but Olivia, you want to kick us off, ladies first, and then Tom, I'll have you jump in.
Sure.
See where everybody's at.
Yeah, sure. So I'm still trying to move these houses. I get some interest and some not, and I'll tell you what just happened is one of the investors that buys in the Section 8 told me that the one house has a lot of liens on it, and he wasn't really interested because of that. And I didn't even think to check that out. Was I supposed to?
Right. Well, there's really no way. If the seller doesn't tell you about them, the only way to find out would be to have title pull an O&E. It's called an O&E report, owners and encumbrances. A lot of times title companies, it's kind of like a preliminary title policy, if you want to put it that way.
Okay.
So a lot of times title companies will take care of you if you have a relationship, and they'll do them for you. But, yeah, if the owner doesn't know, then you wouldn't know. So any deal moving forward, obviously you want to get the signed contract back and get it over to title, and then they start doing their quick research, at least the O&E up front to see if that's – because it'll be – I don't know what the percentage of it is going to be, but it's going to be semi-common on vacant houses, right, because they're just sitting there. So
right.
Yep.
Okay, and then
Are the tax liens on it or whatever the
– I haven't figured that out yet. Someone was able to look it up on his own, some investor. So I wouldn't know how to look that up myself.
Yeah, public record, tax lien data, yeah, probably the case.
Okay.
So is this a cheap little house? Is this one of the $10,000 ones?
Yeah, it's cheap.
Yeah.
And he inherited it, so. And then, so if it does that automatically exclude it? Should I try and keep it clean when I'm starting out, keep it clean?
It doesn't automatically mean it's not a deal, but it depends on how big the liens are. I mean, if you're making a $10,000 offer – and you have 12 grand worth of back taxes or whatever the case, I mean, basically for you to still have your buy price of 10 grand, that seller now, because they owe 12, they're going to have to bring 2,000 to the table just to move it at your price. Right.
Right.
So, for instance, Rob had one recently and he had it tied up. I think it was around 20, 25 grand, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And they started to look it up. And they found out there were $7,000 in back taxes. They're already under contract with the seller for, let's just call it 20, for 20,000, right? I don't remember the exact numbers, but everybody will get the idea. 7,000 in back taxes. So Rob's not going to change his offer to 27 to get the seller their 20, right? So they went back to him and said, hey, we pulled the O&E and it looks like there's $7,000 in back taxes due. We're still under contract at 20. That's going to bring your net down to 13. And that's how this one's going to play out since, you didn't mention those earlier. And the guy, he gave him a little bit of pushback. But what you do during the script is, you say, here's the thing. You basically have kept that $7,000 that was owed in your pocket already, right? And he, he said, not everybody would agree to that. But he said, yeah, I guess you're kind of right because that money is due. And so they're still under contract at 20.
Okay.
But 7,000 of it, the title company is going to take off and pay off the back taxes because when the house sells, it has to be passed to the new owner free and clear of all liens.
Right, okay.
And then his net is less. So sometimes it kills deals, other times it doesn't. Just depends.
Aaron Rose.
Okay, great.
It's Brian
Patterson. Great. Thanks.
So, yeah. Anything else, Olivia?
That was about all that's come
okay.
up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tom, I know you were on probably first.
Yeah.
What's the good word?
Let's see. I've been trying to.
Did you get that contract back?
No. He's got. I did it by mail. So by overnight, whatever mail. He's got it.
Okay.
Hopefully he'll. It's at his house. He's probably working. So when he gets home tonight, hopefully he'll sign it and put it back in the prepaid envelope I gave him.
Did it just show up today?
Yeah.
Or it showed up over the weekend? Okay, just got there today.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's not even home yet. I mean, so we're going
right
to tech on this one.
Yeah, that's fairly common. I wouldn't say real common, but fairly common, right?
you know, so I mean, it's like, that's fine. It gives me more time to find a buyer. So I had a rough couple of days working in the urgent care department, and then today I feel like absolute crap with a raging headache. So I didn't get a lot done. Got a lot, little done, but not a lot done. So
have you talked to any buyers about it?
No, I've been trying to find buyers, and I really didn't get that far today. Because I mean, I have to find, you know, make some calls to some buyers, and I haven't even started to get any addresses or places to call.
Yeah, you got some work to do.
Yes, I do. I meant to do it today, but you know, I got body aches and headache like crazy. So something's gotten me.
You're off tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, it's go time. So you're not under contract yet. So you're going to say, I've got a deal in this area. Just waiting on finalized paperwork. Here's kind of the rundown. You know, what looks like you're buying in the area. So just reach out and have a conversation, one investor to another.
Well, I don't have any investors' names or numbers yet. That's part of the problem right there. I was going to call a title company and do it that way. And been trying to call property managers. I've gotten nowhere on talking to a human with property managers.
Yeah, so keep dialing. Hard money lenders will know. Real estate clubs will know buyers. Craigslist has buyers. Go to the current landlords in the area. Type in the address, the zip code in the surrounding, and you'll see people who have properties for sale or for rent in and around the area. Basically, everything in step five. Go through some of that too.
Right.
Obviously, FreedomSoft can kick in and help. But, yeah, it's about talking to anybody and everybody that you can think of that have a conversation with quick. So,
yeah, I have one buyer that somebody was going to send me the name of. He hasn't yet. I got to call him back and say, hey, man, where is it? Because they're looking.
Esther Meehan.
It's actually my bird dog. He said he knows somebody who does flips and they're looking for deals. So I just need to sew that up.
Hey, somebody has their TV on in the background. Hit star 6 for us so we don't hear the morning news or the evening news. Thank you. Yeah, Tom, so this is where some hustle kicks in. I mean, there are a lot of different ways to drum them up. A lot of them are in step five. Just get on the phone with, you know, anybody you can think of, anybody local, to drum it up. So if property managers don't want to answer, keep dialing them.
Okay.
Real estate clubs. You know, you can go to Go Section 8 for that. But this is you've got to deal with clubs. Darren's chiming in. What's up, Darren?
Hey, this is Darren from Cleveland. I might have a buyer for you depending on what neighborhood that house is in, too.
For Pittsburgh?
Oh, you're in Pittsburgh. Oh, okay, I thought you were.
Yeah.
I thought it was contract with Cleveland.
Notebook?
No. But thanks anyway.
No buyers there yet.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Cleveland.
Yeah, well, thanks anyway.
Hey, if somebody has a buyer that could be interested in Pittsburgh, wants to team up, Tom's got a deal. Shoot me an email into the coaching center, and I'll connect you guys.
Yeah. So I was disappointed with my performance today, but I could barely sit up today. So
make up for it tomorrow. And Tom, you can call horizontal. So
yeah,
I'm just busting your chops a little bit.
I know you're busting my chops. That's okay.
Yeah. This teacher years ago said excuses are like armpits. Everybody has two and they both stink. So I'm not going to rail you on you too hard, but you've got some work to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. I know we have some other folks on. Brian checked in, Aaron Rose, Esther, Darren. Brian, you want to jump in? Brian Patterson? Hey, somebody still has a TV on. Hit star 6 on your phone.
Hey, Mike.
Somebody's watching Matlock or something. Hey, Brian. I know we've been back and forth a little about emails today. Good. Good, good. Any questions on where you're at? You're getting step three kicked off?
Yeah, I'm working on that vacant buyers list. Vacant sellers list. Putting that together. I'd asked you about the data feed. You don't think that's a viable option in terms of getting leads from one of those, like the vacant house data feed or, you know, find motivated sellers now? Have guys use that?
Yeah, go to your bird dogs first. They'll be even better. There will be some overlap, but those companies, we're actually working on bringing in a vacant house data feed to FreedomSoft. So they're using some online tools, some postal service info. Nothing beats eyes on the prize. So, you know, Rob has done it both ways. Nothing beats somebody physically driving around saying that's a vacant house right there. And here's the thing. When it's on data feed like that, anybody can buy it. So it's hard to say how many other people have their hands on the same data. So like I said, is there going to be some overlap between one of the paid services and if you're running Bird Dogs? Sure there will. But you're also going to get a percentage of them that nobody else is even doing because very, very few people are hiring a Bird Dog off Craigslist to have them go drive for dollars. It just doesn't – it's just not very common. So it's even better. So get your Bird Dogs bringing in leads. If you have access to that service, fire it up. But I want it to be your plan B and not your plan A. So.
Okay. And then do you guys send any sort of mailer, or do you just
say that again?
Did you guys do any sort of mailer once you have the information on the owners, or do you just give Tracer a phone number and dial for calls?
Yeah, Rob does both. So, you know, that's one of the things with the success teams here is, let's keep it really simple and linear. He has a video in FreedomSoft, and it's really simple to set up. He uses direct mail a ton. He actually sends a specific letter, and there's a training video that I can send. I think I've sent it out to everybody before, but I may not have sent it to you, Brian, but how to set up your FreedomSoft account so you can send a one-off letter through Click-to-Mail, which is the U.S. Postal Service automated service, which you maybe know about. And then they put it in an envelope and mail it. And so it basically says, hey, my team was running around in the neighborhood and saw your vacant house. Bam, wanted to reach out about it, you know, reach out and talk to you about it. So he does a lot of both. But that, you know, that adds another layer on. So typically when we're getting this started, we just get people, find the leads, have a Bird Dog, bring them in, get them skip traced, and get on the phone. And then get dialed and comfortable with that, and then we can start talking about how to add in a quick letter. But yeah, he does.
Okay.
He does both and. Yep.
All right, that'll work for me, Mike. Maybe we can set up. I'll shoot you an email with some other questions I have.
Yeah, that sounds good. Fire him into the coaching center for sure. Good stuff. So yeah, get that. I know you're asking about the Bird Dog ad earlier. Get that thing posted today. Get that online. You'll have people responding to it. Side note, everybody, there is a. And Brian, the app that we're having the Bird Dogs use is called HomeSnap. It works a little bit cleaner with FreedomSoft from an iPhone. So I've mentioned this on here before. Rob puts that in his app or in his ad on Craigslist. He said he must have an iPhone and a car. That's it. Because if it comes in from an Android, it doesn't bring the attached photo. And it's just the way it is with HomeSnap until they solve it. So if you want to add that to your ad, plenty of people have iPhones. It excludes the Android users, but he just says instead of, you know, dealing with it, just hire somebody with an iPhone. So that part is not on the PDF I told you to download, but you may want to add it. It's a little bit cleaner when the leads come in.
So.
Yep, for sure. Good stuff, man. Yeah, it sounded like you had a couple more questions. Get those into the coaching email, and we'll get back to you. So.
Okay, we'll do.
Yep, good stuff. Who else? I know Aaron's on, Esther, Darren. I don't get everybody's name, but I know we have quite a few on. Who wants to jump in?
I'm here.
John's here. What's the good word, Captain?
Not too much, man. Making some calls today, didn't have a whole lot of luck, man, probably about 15 or 20. And some of these have, you know, like they said, 12 or 15 numbers, but I still need to hire my salesperson. I guess my question is, do I really need to do that on Craigslist?
What's that?
Hiring a phone salesperson.
Yeah, Craigslist or Indeed.com. Indeed.com, Rob, is used quite a bit in Craigslist. Yeah, you can find good people anywhere. And since we've been talking about this for over a week now, John, I might as well just put you on the spot and say, what's the deadline when you're going to have somebody on board?
No
pressure here, but the group's going about to keep you accountable here. So what'd you say, in a week, by next Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, even if they don't work out, go through the process, right?
Right.
and there's a good chance that they do.
Right, I've got to hunt down that. Try to format it on Rob's pay scale thing too. I got to hunt that down.
Yep.
So I can find it.
Get that designed out quick. It's not rocket science. Figure out what it is, and then get somebody on the phone. I mean, even if you have somebody that just has part time during the day or whatever the case, you'll be able to find somebody. So get an ad on Craigslist.
Yeah,
or get
three,
on Indeed.com.
2 or 3 hours, yeah. But other than that, you know, trying to close some of these other deals. But I have a seller waffling, saying they got another offer on another deal, but trying to get us to come up $5,000. And buyers playing games with the usual stuff. So, but we're clicking along with it. So
cool. And you're good on that side. So get your salesperson on, just teeing them up, getting them. If you need to, you know, alter a little bit what they got under contract, that's fine. But you know, in the near future, they'll be able to just get them under contract. They turn them over to you, and then you're working that back end side. You know your buyers. You have the relationship. You know how to get it closed. That kind of thing.
Well, I think initially it's going to be, like you say, a curve. So they're going to have to set them up for me to talk to them initially, probably. So.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah.
Tell you what, though,
I might find the greatest and latest. Who knows?
Well, you get somebody that's comfortable on the phone. It's not hard to teach them how to evaluate deals quick in the neighborhoods you're going in. You know, if they're in and around those neighborhoods, or you can break them out by campaign and say, hey, if this person sounds motivated, you know, say, hey, if we offered you $10,000 all cash,
okay,
close here in 30 days, would you take it? And just build that into the script. But
yeah.
Somebody that's sharp will be able to figure that out fairly quick.
Gotcha.
So, all right. Yeah, till Monday. The sooner the better. Who else?
All right.
Hey, this is Darren.
Darren, how the heck are you?
Fucking man. I'm really good. Really good.
It's really good. Cool. Tell
so
us
I
what's
got,
up.
I got one under contract, man.
Attaboy. When did you get it?
Did
you get it back
it
today or? Over the
yeah,
weekend.
Yeah, I just got it back before
nice.
Before the weekend there. And
before, so Friday.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really
okay.
do any work until today, but I've got three buyers looking at it between today and tomorrow already. So
tell us about it. Where is it and what are the numbers?
Yep. So, well, here this is a little news is that it's not in my out of state location. It's actually a lead that I got here in my hometown.
Okay.
And but I'm working everything. You know, if I get a lead here, I'm gonna put it under contract. So
right. Absolutely.
So it's a house that's in a really hot neighborhood here. It's kind of an upscale neighborhood. It's not a depressed area or low income area. It's probably one of the highest income areas. But it was it's another flipper came to me and called me and said, hey, I've got this house down to the studs. I rebuilt the foundation, I put a new driveway in. He's like, I'm just running out of money, and I got two other projects I'm trying to finish up on the other side of town.
Yeah.
He wanted to sell it to me for $110,000.
Yeah.
And I got him down to $85,000, and I pay the closing cost.
Sweet.
So,
what are you trying to move it for, and what's ARV? How much work does it need still?
It's worth $200,000 finished.
Okay.
And it's down to the studs.
Yep.
So I honestly don't really know how much work it's going to need. I just feel like I got it at a good price. So I marked it up $10,000 and put it out on a couple of the investor websites today. And I've got three people that are going to look at it. So
love it.
I'm excited.
You should be.
Now, my other leads, I've been trying to get on the phones. I've been successful a couple times just because I force myself. And even if I have 30 minutes, I'll jump on the phones and just try to make as many as I can.
Yep.
But I feel like that's not enough time on the phones to actually get a voice. I've been going through a lot of not in services, wrong number. So I'm just trying to get warm bodies on the phone. I feel like if I
yeah.
do that.
Salesperson, you're in the same boat John is. I mean, you know, a lot of you come to us in slightly different situations, Darren, but you have how many flip projects?
A lot, 15.
Right. So time is critical, right? So get a salesperson
right.
on your team that can be working those phones because you see what happens when you get on the phone. You need to
mm-hmm.
be out there building the network, building the buyer's list, focused on that, and you have plenty on your plate already, right? Some people on the call here have, you know, more time in the day. You're not one of them, right? People have different scenarios,
no.
So different situations, but you're busy. And your salesperson is going to be tied to, as long, and I was talking about this last week, if you weren't here, but if the salesperson is not on your team, not a part of your company in some way, and you get
right.
to a closing, you shouldn't pay them a commission because they're not licensed, right? And Darren, you're a licensed agent. You know how this works. But
mm-hmm.
if I have an employee or a 1099 contractor that's a part of my team, and then we go to a closing and my company gets paid, I can pay them. They're a part of my team. So that's and it's not even a workaround. That's just how it works. And so Rob has a sales guy he's been talking about, right? You've heard him talk about Chris and how he put, you know, he was working the phones full-time, 12 in 2 weeks. He put 8 deals under contract and 4 more are pending. But he's on the phone for 8 hours a day. So this is what you're looking for. And then that guy's on a sliding scale. It depends on he makes between 10 and 20% of the wholesale fees. And there, if he hits 17 grand in the week, he goes to 20. He gets 20% of what he generated that week. And he set up a part of Rob's company, 1099, a part of the business, and so he does get paid when deals close. So that's the thing, too, is it's not out of pocket. Rob hasn't paid him a dime yet because those deals haven't closed. The first one's getting close, but they haven't closed yet. Chris gets paid when they close.
You said if he gets up to 17 grand, what, in a week or in a month?
For the week, he bumps to 20. Yep. And so typical wholesale fees are, typical wholesale fees are 6 to 10 grand. So it's two to three deals, which he hit. He knocked it out of the park.
What was the first first percentage, though? Not 20, was the first one?
10 to 20. 10% on the deals for the week below the 17,000 number. Yep. And that can be whatever, you know, that's not to say that's the right way. That's how Rob does it. If they buy it internal, if Rob's company buys it, because he's one of the buyers, they mark it up 6 grand. That's already set in stone. If they wholesale it, it's whatever they get for it. That's how he does it. If he's going to take it internal and sell it to one of his other companies, right, because he has acquisitions and then the buyer, the entities that are buying, and that's getting a little more complicated for some of the conversation here. But if it stays in-house, it's a $6,000 wholesale fee.
Yeah.
That goes on Chris's numbers. What's that?
Is it 20% of every dollar over 17 grand, or is that bump him to the 20%
of the total.
The total. Okay, I got it.
Yep. So if he brings in 20,000 in, right, 20,000 in wholesale fees that week, 20%, 4 grand is his when those close.
Wow.
Yep.
And is he on an hourly pay as well?
Nope. 1099.
Wow.
Now, some of that, check into how your local, if in Colorado, this is new, your salespeople have to at least be making minimum wage. So, but here's the thing. If you have a salesperson that isn't generating enough to earn, what's it in Colorado, $9.20 an hour now, I think, not the right salesperson for your team. So that's just a Colorado thing. So you need to look into that's going to vary state by state. But at the end of the day, a salesperson that isn't making minimum wage, right, fire and find somebody new. That's how that works. So, yeah, just get them on your team. And some of you are thinking, oh, team member, wait a minute. I got to have some money to pay them or this, that. Nope, you're paying them at closing. You're just setting them up as a part of your team, right? Because then you can pay out of the closing, out of the proceeds that your company makes. Make sense?
Yeah, $4,000 a week is pretty healthy for a sales guy.
He made, when those deals close, and that's just the 12, they you know, he's on the hook for just under 15 grand in a couple weeks. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you get somebody that's hungry. And then how cool is your job moves over to generate leads, build buyers list, build the back end. When you get, as your company grows, that'll be the next position you bring in. somebody, you'll have a salesperson that's getting paid their percentage. You'll have somebody else that's working the deal once it's tied up, right? And then you can have both of those automated.
Right. So my boss is worried about this person coming on and then learning the business and then taking our business.
Coming,
you know, the
on,
boss
learning what
on.
Business? Yeah, yeah, I do. Better half boss.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Like, why would we tell? Why would we bring someone in and teach them how to do this? And then they
tell better half boss that there's plenty to go around. You live in the land of opportunity. People are willing to risk their life to get here. Opportunity never runs out. And somebody who's trained is somebody that if they leave, they'll probably leave on good terms, hopefully, and you can buy from, sell to, or partner with another skilled person and know that there are a thousand more people that would love the opportunity to learn some real estate.
Well, I have a
question.
I'll tell you what, though,
Darren, when you just have – and then, John, chime in. But when you have somebody who just knows that they're being handed great leads, they don't know how to generate them, you've been taught, that's – lead gen is the bottom of the pyramid that we go over on every orientation call.
Mm-hmm.
So, it could happen. Not likely. And you give somebody a legit opportunity, and maybe they do leave, and they go out and say, now what the heck do I do? How is he generating those great leads? Yeah, maybe they figured out, maybe they don't. Yep, don't operate out of fear. Operate out of, this person's going to stay with us. Turnover is a reality. If they go on and do their own thing, so what? There are thousands and thousands and thousands of real estate transactions happening every day that banks are open and money can change hands. And there's plenty, right? Plenty
sure.
to go around. So tell the boss that was that's my Mike's input.
All right.
But that's always been Rob's attitude. Great. Give away help people out, give away the info. Create somebody that you can buy from, sell to, or partner with. Worst case scenario. Don't worry about competition.
Okay. So,
John, what's your question?
If they're a 1099 employee and they suck and they don't do anything or bring in any money,
yep.
You still have to pay a minimum wage, I'm supposing.
You could. Check with your state. It's very state by state. In Colorado, if you had somebody working for 2 weeks, and I would have – Rob is the one who really dialed this in. I wasn't a part of that process. I just heard a couple conversations between he and Brad. But, yeah you could be out. You could be out for a little bit of time. But hire right. I was talking about it last week. Rob uses a DISC test, DISC. He pays the $35 to order it, and then he sends them a link, and they go through it. And you want people that are D's and I's, D as in dog, I indigo. Those are your salespeople on a DISC test.
Yeah, I took the short one.
Yep, your S's and C's are you're kind of behind the scenes folks. Typically, your accountants are usually high C, want all their ducks in a row, want to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. You're really looking for somebody, in the D's and I's that can just go get it done and don't really – it's not that they don't care about the details. It's just not their main focus like an accountant would be.
Right.
So, yep.
Okay.
Good question. Anything else, Darren? Great update, man. You've got three looking at that deal. Did you say today or tomorrow?
One went and looked today, and I've got two tomorrow.
Awesome. So we're looking for a good update on Thursday with a buyer.
Yeah.
I mean, how big is this house? How big is the house?
It's 1377, so pretty small.
And it's studs, which is, from an investor standpoint, a fix and flip, that's a good thing because there are no surprises.
Right.
And a fixed foundation,
and
you have a brand-new driveway. I mean, those are big-ticket items.
Sure. Yep, so it needs a new roof, windows. The siding's kind of dirty, but it's not bad. But and then everything inside, all the mechanicals.
You've got to be able to get out of there for 40, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a good deal.
Yeah, it is.
I just want 10. I just want to put 10 on the board so that
That's
I
right.
can do
Absolutely.
Some other stuff.
Absolutely, so you can rinse and repeat, right?
Rinse and repeat.
Absolutely.
Get in and out. And
here's the other thing. Whoever buys this from
back.
Whoever buys this from you is likely going to become a repeat customer because they're going to come out of the gate and say, wow, that was a smoking deal from Darren. Anything else
right.
you bring to the table, they're immediately going to look at.
Right.
Yep.
I created
yep.
a campaign called Buyers And the phone number that I put in the Craigslist ads and out in the Facebook groups and all that is it's all going into my buyer campaign so that I don't lose any leads. And then what I did was I created a Gmail account that forwards to the buyer campaign as well. So if someone sends me an email or calls me, it's a lead that goes into my buyer campaign.
Love it. So automation, organization. Yep.
Yeah, because I know it gets out of control.
I'm going to brag on you for a little bit. So Darren and his wife have been flipping houses in Cleveland, right? I get Cleveland and Columbus mixed up. Cleveland for a while now. And there's a local, whatever, the city has a real estate commission or something, and they hand out awards. And they recently won Best Remodel in the last 12 months and Best Kitchen Remodel under 50 grand. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I know. It's a big deal. They had a banquet. His wife went, picked up the awards, two glass trophies. I sit in a unique spot, and I've talked about this before, but I get to know some of you and what you're doing and your background, and we've got some talent in this group, and we've got some people that are doing cool stuff. So just brag on that a little bit. That's a big deal. Yep.
I appreciate
good work.
It.
Yeah, for sure. Who else?
Aaron Rose,
I was just going to call you out. Where you at?
Yes. Well, again, kind of, you know, if you'll recall, I'm here in Denver in the Berkeley neighborhood. So my roofing business just exploded last week. So I'm just kind of just trying to catch up. But I'm actually planning on implementing some of these strategies into, hiring bird dogs or canvassers and that type of thing to kind of, you know, get the boss off my back as far as, I'm like, well, I got this real estate thing ready to go. I got 200 leads. They're on the phone skip trace. And, you know, now all of a sudden,
you need somebody on the phone.
Yeah, I need somebody on the phone. And I also need somebody, you know, knocking doors here in town. So, you know, I can say, look, I'm pursuing the roofing, but at the same time, I'm getting this other thing going too. So I'm definitely the big takeaway, and I still need to fill out my weekly report for last week.
Yeah, by the way, weekly reports tonight, if you didn't do them already for Friday, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm planning on getting that done. But the big takeaway for me is, you know, continue to automate all of these things. You know, it's like, it's like a big shift in consciousness, you know, for me in this whole process. You don't have to be the one doing the menial tasks, you know. So anyway,
that is,
but
Aaron, that is that's everybody's tendency. This is what needs to be done. I'll try and find time to do it. This is what needs to be done. I'll try and find time to do it.
Exactly.
And Rob, he wasn't always this way, but now he goes to who can I have do this and how do I stay focused on what needs to be happened. And, you know, everybody, Aaron's talking about a roofing business. He's got a roofing company here in Denver. It hit some nationwide news channels. We had legitimate golf ball size hail, kind of mid to south. Oh, for real? Where at? Castle Rock area?
I was headed west on 44th and Wheat Ridge.
Seriously,
to pick up my daughter and like
last
my windshield on my Ford F-150 got shattered in like 15 places.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was legitimately dangerous hail. So, obviously, the roofing calls are, phone's off the hook.
Already got 10 customers up and down my street, right? Just my block. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy.
One neighborhood.
So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus with Mother's Day.
Yeah, so that's the thing.
In town and all that stuff. So
Darren's busy with flips because that's what he was doing. You're busy with the business. Everybody, we're all busy, right? So this is why – understand the process, but some of you are ready to go with a salesperson. Get them on the phone because you know how to generate leads. I mean,
and I had not
imagined
heard that
this.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you took the phone calls off of some of your plates and you just had to stay in communication with your bird dog, hey, can you get me 50 more? Bam, they come into FreedomSoft. They're automated. Give your VA access. Shoot them a quick email or have them checking daily even better or a couple times a week. But worst case, shoot your VA a quick email. Hey, there are 50 more in your campaign that need skip traced. The VA is in skip tracing, and as soon as they're skip traced, your VA changes the status to, you know, skip traced needs phone call. And then your salesperson knows to go into your FreedomSoft account and look for that status. That they
yep,
know
and
that
you, set up
you know
your
that
workflow
this lead
automation
is ready to go.
To send them
and then
an
you're
email
just
or a notification.
You're just puppet master, overseeing this whole thing, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And
so
you know,
you
it's
gotta,
a little like it's
go ahead.
It's like there's that sort of, I think, what's the word, frugal person in a lot of us, which is like, oh, I'm spending so much money up front, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, but you got to take that, you know, it takes money to make money in that circumstance. You got to pay the money and make the results
and
happen,
here's the,
you know.
And here's the thing. What's an hour of your time worth? So you're going to put time in. Don't fool yourself into thinking that because you didn't pay somebody else to do it that you're not spending money.
Exactly.
Because
what
time,
money are
you
losing
know,
by
spent,
not doing
right.
it?
Right. Time spent skip tracing is taking you away from doing something else. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Good point.
So
yep.
that's
Good
where
stuff.
I'm at. That's basically
okay.
it. Staying on, just trying to get all these things lined up. I know where I'm at. I know where I need to be. And I know what the potential is there. So things will settle down here in a couple of days now all the family stuff is out of the way for the weekend. I mean, we have kids' birthday party and daughter's ballet recital and everything else, Mother's Day. So
that's the thing about having somebody on, too, is they're going to roll through some of that because that's their job.
Right.
They're
going to
roll through
paid
some of that.
They do that.
Yep.
Mike, I got a
question. Yeah.
You get to...
You're breaking up a little bit.
They move over to... They move. How do they move that to say that the salesperson takes over? What do they do in FreedomSoft?
The salesperson?
I think I know what he's talking about. It's a change of status, and you set up a workflow automation for when that status changes. It alerts that person that you've given access in FreedomSoft. It pops up on their dashboard, and then they take over from that status change.
Yeah, so,
am I right?
Really,
yes,
your salesperson
exactly.
just needs to log in. They go into either their campaign or seller leads, and they go to the little search bar, and instead of typing something in the search bar, inside the search box, there's a little light gray wheel, looks like a cog. They click on that. That pulls up the advanced search options. Go over to status, and there's a drop down, and your salesperson would select the status, skip trace needs phone call. Select that, click search, it'll pull up every lead that currently has that status, and they can just go and start at the top, pick up the phone.
Well, who changes that status?
The VA. After they skip trace it, they find all the data, they change the status to been skip traced, contact
that's
seller.
That's the part I was
and then
say, okay, so
yeah, the
I
VA does
that.
The skip tracing VA.
I need the skip tracing VA to change the status.
You got it. Because that way your salesperson just comes in, looks for their status. All the leads pull up, and they're on the phone. Yep.
Speaking of workflows and status, go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
So the skip tracer are with the permissions that I gave or already has can do that already?
Yeah, if she can see the lead, she can change the status of the lead, he or she. Yep.
Let's just have her change the status of the lead. Okay, perfect. Okay, that was my question. Thanks.
Where
and then you
want to
make sure
–
what's that?
In the search, in the gray part.
Yeah, so, John, just go, or anybody that's online, go to your you can go to any campaign and click view all, or you can go to your seller leads. Somebody has a rooster in the background or something?
that's my neighbor, yeah.
Unbelievable. Can you rubber band that thing?
I got chicks. I got goats, man. I got two little goats.
Nice.
Insane.
I thought the sun
Urban
was coming
homestead.
Up, but then I remembered that's not the case. Anybody, you can go to your campaign and click view all or just go to seller leads.
Yeah. But
and then in the right-hand corner, it says search, and there's a little light gray wheel in there. Click the wheel. And then it'll pull up the advanced search options. You can search by deal type, status, source, by dates, by color codes. Just go to your status. Your salesperson will, on Rob's, it's called number 2 research complete call seller. They'll select that status, click the blue search button, and it'll pull up all the leads with that status that your VA has done
research. Yeah, I think I need to adjust my workflows or something, man. I understand that. So.
Are they?
Yeah,
we can work on that off call here, John.
Yeah, hey,
I need to refine mine for sure. Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Let's just say the sales person now makes a call. I know that there's a status that just says called and left a message or something. But I think more than likely I'm calling and I'm not getting through to any of the numbers. And I want to flag it in some way that I either want to go back and re-skip trace it or try to do some more research on it. Or do I just call it dead and move on?
Depends. You can create a status for that, re-skip trace, in which case you could change it to that status and have your VA, maybe you have a second skip trace service or they could research it again.
Yeah.
Or if it truly is dead, then yeah, you can go to, a status of dead lead or not motivated or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's just, you have to figure out what are you going to consider dead and then what are you going to do to it? So the last, and I'm going into workflow automation here. So lead flow for bird dogs. So the very last one is number 14, not motivated. So at that point, I mean, you have the owner of record. You probably, since you didn't get a hold of anybody, you probably didn't get an email address. So an autoresponder won't do a whole lot of good. But, you could drop them a letter. Not motivated.
Right, follow
up with a
postcard or something.
Yep, something. You got it.
So along the lines of workflow automation and what have you, that's, I guess, more of a technical question as well, but I had started setting up my own vacant before. It looks like I got that Rob's vacant workflow added to my account now, but and I haven't switched any yet. But the workflow that I had created that said vacant leads, and then I set a status of new, it was not coming in as the, because I made my new, like, lowercase, and the default one is all cap, all caps. New.
It's all up, yep.
And I set that workflow up to that campaign of that bird dog, but everything kept coming in as all caps new. It wasn't jumping
to
that's, my.
Yeah, that's the default set in FreedomSoft, and that's just hardwired in. I don't even know that we're thinking about changing that. But all you have to do is instruct your VA in this campaign, when you see a status of new, that means it needs to be skip traced.
Right. And then from there they can set the statuses to
just change it to skip trace complete call seller.
Go into your other statuses that you've set up.
Yeah,
so.
that was an existing. You couldn't even make.
So
you know,
not
workflow
even
automation
Rob,
didn't
the,
exist.
It doesn't come in new. It doesn't come in any other way but all caps.
It doesn't
new.
It's got to start at the all caps default new for now. Yep.
Okay, so then we'll manually switch it to the workflow that we. Well, to switch it to the status that we want it to go with.
And have the skip tracer do that. Because they're going to look, they're going to do the research, and then they just adjust it when they're done. Yep. You got it.
Yeah, cool. So that finishes my update.
Cool.
With all that.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. Who else?
Mike, what's up? It's Josh.
Hey, Josh. How are you?
What's going on, man? Hey, we, got a few properties under contract. We actually closed on one last week.
Tell
a little different deal though.
What did it look? Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, it just kind of came to us. It was a guy we were buying something from, or he was buying something from us a little while back, or he was trying to, and we never did link up. But he ended up having a property that had went through a tax deed sale, and the certificate holder had it and wanted to sell it really cheap and sold it to him, and then he called us and we bought it from him. So it's the ARV on it is in the range of $70,000 to $80,000, and it needs about $30,000 in repairs. We paid $9,300 for it.
And
so,
are you going to hold this or you're going to wholesale it?
We just got it out. We just put it out there last week. We put it out there for 25. We got a few of our buyers going by to look at it this week. So we're just gonna sit on it for 30 days and see, you know, hopefully we don't sit on it for 30 days, but we're gonna give it a shot for 30 days to see what happens with it and to see what let the deal tell us what to do.
So you've got it for 95, and you've got it out there for sale at what, 20?
25. So, yeah. So we just got it for sale for 25.
Sweet little.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And we also got the rent in that neighborhood, it's about 600. But, I mean, fixed up, it would be a little more. It would be about, it might be 700 for that one. But we also have another deal that came to us, which was we're assigning a mobile home that is being moved. So we're closing that one tomorrow. That one kind of just, the lead came to us, and we'll make $2,000 on it, and we never even looked, we never went to it, never went, looked at it, never did anything.
Love it.
So just sign a few papers. And then another thing that we are looking at right now is, you know, I was on the call last week, you were talking about hiring people off of Craigslist because we're having a little issues with some inconsistency with the girl that we have calling, and she just was, having a little issues and stuff. So, we need to find someone else. So I put some ads on Craigslist, and I found that I got some pretty good leads on there. If anybody's hiring, I can tell you some of the mistakes and things we've been doing that have helped. For example, on my Craigslist ad, I just put very blatantly, looking for someone to make calls and set appointments. Will be cold calls, a few other details. But the long and the short of it is I give them a call of action, and at the end I say, if you're interested in this job, text me at, give them the number, start the conversation with hire me, and explain why you would be an asset to my company. Now, if they come in and they ask a question before anything, then I don't want that person, So I do that to start off, and then if I get them on the phone and they do well, then I send them an invite to FreedomSoft, and I have them watch the video on I think it's Lab 20 or something, the one where you explain the script, and then I say, what time can you call me back and let me know if this is a fit for you or not. And if they can't call me back at the time they say, then I cut that out too. So I do a couple different steps to try and wean out the people that are going to give you a problem in the long run.
How's it working?
It's working good. You get a lot of trash, but it's better to not hire the trash than to, have to wean through them with a bunch of money and waste the time. So.
Rob typically goes, he usually just goes one step and then to a phone call to get a feel for him by phone. If that goes good, he goes to a disc test. And if that goes good, if they're assuming they're local, he typically goes to dinner with his wife to see him in person, after hours, late night dinner. Not late night, but, just when people are outside of a business setting, let their hair down a little bit.
Just
kind of get a feel for what they are. But, he typically has them say, gives a specific instruction, like send me a PDF copy of your resume to see if they can at least follow something.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't come back. It doesn't come back PDF. Doesn't even bother looking. So,
that's right. Yeah.
I like that. Okay. See if they're paying attention. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But, that's something we're doing right now. And
cool.
Looks like I've got a couple on the hook for tomorrow to see who's going to start. But, that's where we're at right now. I'm waiting on two more contracts we got pending, waiting to come back in the mail, or one in the mail and one by email. So.
Yeah, so that's funny that mail comes up again. Olivia came up to this. She wrote some contracts right out of the gate to people that either didn't have email, didn't know how to use it, couldn't follow HelloSign, Tom has run into it, you guys are doing it. So, FreedomSoft still sends a fax. We still do snail mail. Rob does all the same stuff. You just never know, what sort of level of technology the person on the other end of the line can handle. So this is all normal stuff, you know, contract certified mail. They actually
yeah.
sent one to a local, like a FedEx store, UPS store, you know, do the legwork, make this as easy as possible on the seller, but say,
mm-hmm.
you know, where do you live? Is there a local UPS store, that kind of thing that, you know, that you could be at? And if they say yes, say, cool, I'm going to arrange it. Hang up, find the store, call it. Here's what's going on. You know, I'm out of Denver. I've got a contract that needs to be signed. Can I fax it to you? This guy's name is Jim. He's going to come in. He'll be looking for a contract. He's going to sign it. Can you fax me back and just send me the bill for whatever that's going to take? And so it just turns into all the above. But go above and beyond to make it as simple as possible on your sellers. Just eliminate the roadblock. You do the legwork. Set up the process. Let them agree to it, you know, and then just call them back and say, okay, be at the local UPS store at 3:00 tomorrow afternoon. You can even have them ask for a specific person that you talked to at the store. Are you going to be there tomorrow? Can I have them ask for you? Bam, 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 set it up. So, Josh, I know you guys
yeah,
get
perfect.
That. I wanted to bring that
no,
up
yeah,
because
yeah.
It's common.
Yeah.
You know, many of you, not just one or two, many of you have bumped into this already. So it's part of what happens. And, you know, Rob was telling me this story just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. They had to do exactly that. Where's the local UPS store? Show up at this time. Document will be there. Sign it. You know, hand it to Mary behind the counter. So it's part of
That's
how it works.
That's good stuff.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, good update, you guys. So you have two more pending, huh, Josh? Are those vacants?
No, they're – one of them's something I've been working on since January. And the other one was a mailer we sent
together.
Out.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Josh, how are you paying these guys that making these calls for you? How have you got it set up?
I'm paying them $9 an hour through the first 20 hours of work, and then I'm paying them $100 for every contract they can, plus $100 for every contract they get after they get through the training of 20 hours.
Wow.
So $9 an hour plus.
If you get somebody talented, consider putting them on a 1099 percentage of revenue generated.
Yeah.
You get
yeah.
the right person in with the right personality, and they see that number. You know, like Robin Brad hired Chris, and he starts seeing that number, and I can get this to 20% if I can get one more deal tied up this week.
Yeah.
That lights a fire under the right personality.
Sure.
That's
I'm all for it.
The D's and I's on the disc test, because a goal like that will unmotivate typically S's and C's. That kind of carrot for somebody that's wired to do sales, it's exactly what you want. And it's not, it's a weekly, it starts over weekly, and that's by design, right? When they come
yeah,
in
right.
on Monday, they say, I got to hit 17 grand again, let's go. So it's like
that's 17 grand in total assignment fees.
Yep, wholesale fees, assignment fees, whatever you want to
yeah,
call
so
it.
Yeah, so that gives them incentive to negotiate as best as they can, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely
yeah.
it does. I mean, they get, you
yeah.
know, they're on Wednesday, and they got a, you know, a $10,000 deal and a $5,000 deal, and it's Friday afternoon, and they're a couple grand short. You want to, you know, you watch somebody put some hustle on or, you know, show up on Saturday. That kind of thing. So I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, it doubles the commission if they can get to 17.
Here, seller, you are signing this contract right now.
Do you guys have a copy of your thing? Sorry
about what?
You have a copy of your pay, like the sliding scale that you're paying with that you could email us?
Rob May. I mean, that's basically it. I'd have to ask him. I'm sure he
How about
does.
An
I'd
agreement?
Have to ask him about it.
Do they sign some kind of agreement? I would probably
yeah.
want to do that.
Yeah, 1099, and that again is going to look a little bit different as the you know how the states go. I'll pick his brain on it because I know it's going to be Colorado specific. But you're a
do y'all ever
you know, an
do anything like draw?
He tries to avoid it.
Right.
Tries
I,
to
for,
avoid it.
I know
yeah.
in the business that I'm in, I'm actually a commissioned salesperson on and. For the new guys, when you first get started, you know, you won't get a commission until potentially 3 months out, but they'll
right.
allow you to do draws on, like, on deals that are signed up. It's typically, like, you know, $100 draw per signed contract, because not everyone's going to turn into a deal, but
right.
I don't know if that would help some folks just getting started, you know, bridge
could,
the gap
yeah,
between the closing.
Right, and you're going to have some salespeople ask that question. So that's something that'll be case-by-case basis. I know Rob, he has done special arrangements for different people that they thought were really promising or whatever the case, but it's hard to just put that out there blanket and say, do this. Because, you know, some people come in and I know he typically doesn't talk about it up front unless it's brought up. But again, that's the thing. You get the person that's wired properly, and that, you know, they're going to blow through that anyway.
So, right, they're crushing the deal.
And yeah, and you guys are turning over good leads. At the end of the day, I mean, leads in real estate don't get better than vacant house. Obviously, leads come from a lot of places, but this is why we go vacant leads in the group here, because they have we're playing the percentages. They have the highest percentage that there's an issue because the house is vacant. And vacant houses still cost money, and there's no revenue coming in. So, I mean, you know how to generate as good a leads as you can find in real estate. So you get somebody good on the sales phone, you know, hire slow, fire quick. But you get somebody that's good, and they'll come out of the gate, you know, and have success right away like Chris did. Any other questions? Who else? This is good stuff. I like this. This conversation has been mostly about leverage, scale, lifestyle, team. That's a good place to have it. Even if you're not there yet, right? This is, that's why these calls are so valuable, is because you're going to hear where people are at who are in a position that you're headed to. So,
I've got some questions kind of more down in the weeds,
uh-huh.
If you're ready.
I'm ready.
So I'm looking for buyers, obviously. So I went through the steps in step five and
uh-huh.
downloaded all the cash buyers from FreedomSoft for
yep.
a specific zip code and sent them over to my VA. And
yep.
I'm trying to think of how many there were. I think I sent them 75 cash buyers, thinking that would be a good number, you know, to start with. And
yep.
only 26 of them came back where he said, yeah, he was able to find a phone number and able to verify that it's in service.
Where was your VA looking? Because a lot of times it'll be a company name and you can go to Secretary of State website.
Oh,
like you can use Intellius, but if you have a name that's a local Cleveland, Ohio company,
yeah,
like in Colorado, we just go to Colorado Secretary of State where they registered the business name. And look
right.
them up that way. So have them rerun the ones they didn't find through that.
Gotcha.
Mark,
we do have
an
Ohio Secretary of State. And whatever
whatever state that's registered in, you just check that state's Secretary of State for the
correct
the
yep.
Articles of Organization,
you
and you're looking for the
yep.
registered agent, and then skip trace that
yep.
person.
Yep.
Well, the registered agent may not be the owner, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the thing. It can
still
take some. It can still take
some
legwork,
a lot of
but.
Time.
Yeah, just depends on how the states work. Colorado's pretty open with the info that you
yeah,
can find
here,
online.
Here, that's what usually what you get. You usually get a lawyer here, so.
Yep.
Doesn't always work.
Hey, Darren, you have MLS access, so you can do this yourself. Somebody that doesn't have an agent do it, but pull all the absentee owners in the surrounding area from the last 12 months out of the MLS.
Absentee owners?
Yeah, those are people that sometimes it's people buying a second house, but most often it's investor activity. People buying a non-owner occupied house.
Okay, I'm just trying to think of how to get at that data though. So what filters am I using to narrow that down?
Absentee owned or non-owner occupied. I don't know the MLS system, but I've talked to agents and they say in most MLS systems they say that's pretty easy to pull. But I've never had MLS access to anywhere, so never done it.
Absentee. Oh, I'm looking for.
Too, right?
I'm looking
What's
for
that?
Buyers who purchase properties who don't live in Ohio. In other words.
Nope. Who just don't live in the house.
Hmm.
I could do that.
So you've got.
I'd have to pay for the list, right?
You can what?
I can do that through Freedom. I mean, through ListSource. And just buy the
you
list.
Can.
Of,
you can
right.
buy the list in ListSource. That's actually
yeah.
the data we find. When you do the property research, you pull – you don't actually buy the list. You just get the number. But that's the thing you put in is absentee. That's where you start absentee owner.
Right.
Because those are the investors, the people buying a house that they don't live in. So, Darren, you've got somebody you can ask, local MLS expert,
yeah,
another agent that says, hey, man, how do I, or whoever it is, guy or gal, and say, hey, how do I go in and pull the absentee owner data for Cleveland in the last 12 months?
Got it. I'm looking for sold.
Do you know
closed transaction.
Can you do that by zip code on ListSource?
You can.
Okay, awesome. I know what I'm doing this afternoon.
On the geography drop-down, for instance, going back to when you did the research for the cities you chose, you selected MSA
right
from that drop-down because you're grabbing data for the whole statistical area. So instead of that, you just grab zip code.
Gotcha. Yes, okay.
And then it'll pull up all the zip codes, and then you can add them as many as you want. So you can grab the one where the property is and then the 5 surrounding, 10 surrounding, whatever you want, and it'll pull that. And you should, Darren, you should be able to do the same thing in the MLS, search by zip code. But, yeah, if not, ListSource has it. ListSource has your data. So. Good stuff. What else? Anyone? I see the rooster stop, Tom, so that's good.
Yeah.
You either kicked it, shot it, shoot it away. I'm not sure what happened there, but
I moved inside.
Fried it.
That's fun.
Here's a question for you, Mike. So this
yeah
one that I've got in the contract has been extremely
uh-huh
easy to show because, A, I called the guy over the weekend and just said, hey, I'm pretty much in the driveway. I'm on my way to go see my mother-in-law, and, hey, can you give me the lockbox combination so I can just go in and see it? And he
yep
said, oh, yeah, sure. The front door is unlocked. Just go right ahead inside. And
have
so it was pretty easy, and I've been just sending buyers over there. You know, everyone that's called me, I just send them over there and say the front door is unlocked. So, but I've got a couple leads that I'm following up on that I'm trying to get under contract, and they're pretty, like, they want to meet me there, and it's really, they're not just opening up their house and just letting whatever. So
yep
once I get a house like that under contract, how easy is it? It's not going to be as easy. So what are the tricks for me to get my buyers in, especially if there's a bunch that I'm turning over there?
Yeah, so we like to set up a showing time, drum up some interest. Somebody's got their TV on too, and it's pretty loud. Hit *6 for us, please. We like to set up a showing time and see how many buyers we can get there to create a little competition.
So you get in there. Oh, so you get them there all at the same time. You tell the owner
ideally
that you're coming. And
yep
then
yeah,
the owner
and just let the owner know, right? If you fully disclose, say, hey, I'm not going to be the buyer here, but I've got access to a lot of great buyers, right? And what
yeah
I do is find great deals. You know, I find deals for them. And so when can we set up a showing? And I'll get some of my buyers over to come through, you know, what works.
Got
and
it
then, yeah, you've got to hustle it up and get some people to show up there.
Got
and so
it
the more the merrier.
Okay.
Tell them bring
all
your
right
checkbook for earnest money because this thing will move on the spot, right? Fear
yeah
of loss.
Oh,
that's
what I wanted.
Yeah.
So that's right. So now when I get a buyer, I forgot about that. I need a – I thought that I'd find it in step 5 is the assignment, one sheet piece of paper that allows me to assign – the contract to the new buyer, to the real buyer.
Yep.
Is that in step 5 or did I just miss it or is it somewhere else?
I thought it was in 3. Let me double check.
3?
No, it might be 4. Hang on.
What are you talking about, Willis?
The assignment, non-exclusive option, purchase and sale.
Well, there's one in FreedomSoft.
There is an assignment in FreedomSoft. They're pretty simple contracts.
All right, so I'm in FreedomSoft. Get me there real quick because
yep
I'm going to need it.
Yep. Go to your name at the very top. Go to your settings page.
Yes.
Go to templates on the left-hand side.
Got it.
System templates, assignment agreements, the top one. Click on it and open it and see what it says.
Assignment agreement. Got it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're done already.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
We got to get this thing sold.
That's right. Does the seller know you're signing it?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And the buyer will know, and 90 sounds like a solid price on that for 200K.
Yeah,
95. 1,300
square
feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
one
awesome.
of the buyers is actually an agent.
Cool.
And he said, hey, do you mind if I go take a look at it? I was like, sure, but I didn't build in a commission for you. I said, you'll have to add that on top. He said, okay, yeah, no problem. So
that's
even
exactly
if he wants
it,
he's going to have. Yeah, he's going to have to add his commission on top of the asking price of 95, so he'll have to come in at 98 if he wants a commission.
I'm glad you brought that up. So that's going to happen from time to time, everybody. You're going to get a buyer or a real estate agent shopping for their buyer. And if they ever ask if that includes your commission, say, nope, just add your commission on top of my price.
Yep.
So at the end of the day, because seller pays commission, typically. And so what would happen is, in Darren's case, what you'd have to do, since you're doing an assignment, you may have to figure out, right, if you maybe assign it for a little bit more. It gets a little more complicated since it's not a double closed. But, long story short, if agent's involved and they say, hey, how do I get paid for finding this for my buyer, just say add your commission on top of my price.
Oh, yeah, that is a good question. Since it's not a double close and the commission is not spelled out in the original purchase agreement with the seller.
Yeah, you may have to – you still have a $10,000 assignment fee. You guys will figure it out. You may have to go back to the seller and say, hey, my end buyer has an agent, so here's what we're going to do. His commission's $3,000. We're going to bump the sale price. You'll pay the $3,000 at closing. Same net to you. Let's just redo the paperwork quick.
Got it.
That way it's just all on the HUD. So
I
not
got it.
Usually
so
hard to figure out, but the assignment's a little bit different than a double close, obviously, where you would just change the price. So.
Right.
Yep.
I wonder if there's any way to do an addendum with the assignment contract paperwork.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could ask title. Could you just bump the assignment fee and then pay it that way? Usually it's on the sale price, but because seller pays agents typically. Good title company would know. Because your assignment's just going to put them in your position, so it needs to be on the sell. It needs to be on the buyer
purchase
contract.
Agreement.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Somebody said, "Hey, Mike," in there. Who was that, and what was your question?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Esther. It was
Esther,
a guy, but maybe I answered it. Hey, yeah, I can hear you, Esther.
Okay. I have a question. My VA asked if, what would be the best resource for her to use, IDP or her phone. She's doing the property.
You're kind of breaking up, Esther, a little bit. Say that again. Your VA what?
She was wondering what was the best source to use, an IDP, a PC, or her iPhone when she's doing her property searches.
I'm still having a hard time hearing you. I heard VA and iPhone and best resource.
Okay.
But I didn't catch
all
of that.
She was wondering which is the best source to use, an IP,
the best
a PC,
source?
Or her iPhone.
What is your VA doing?
But she's doing the property searches for me.
PC. Yeah, you don't want to do that on a phone. Yeah, you're going to have multiple tabs open. One in FreedomSoft, grabbing the address, probably a second internet browser tab with public records in your county, and then a third tab for whatever skip trace service she's using.
Okay.
Then you can just go right down the list, paste all the information into the lead record in FreedomSoft, and then save it.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that
good.
By phone.
Thank you very
so.
Much.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and second of all, is where do I find this class, this session is being recorded? Is that correct?
Yeah, all these calls are recorded, and they go into the coaching center above the steps 1 through 5 and click on office hours, and then the most recent ones are at the top. And we're missing a couple in there because I was out of the office and the boss didn't hit record. So next time he's on, you'll have to take that one up with him. What's that?
Okay.
He was so careful with that too. He was like, "Hold on, everyone, I got to hit record before I forget." And then he forgot.
Yeah, he told me it kicked an error or something. Who knows? Anyway, I got to throw him under the bus a little bit because he's not here, so
he's the
that's
boss.
Not really fair.
Say?
But yeah, what are you gonna say? What are you gonna say?
Thank
yeah,
you,
so just click. Yeah, you're welcome. Just click office hours in the coaching center above step one. And I still have Thursdays of last week to put up, and then I'll put up today's as well, probably tomorrow at some point. So.
Great. Thank you.
Yep, yep. Yeah, sure. Any other questions?
Nope.
Good conversation as always. All right, everybody. If you're on and you, I'm going to send an email too, but get those weekly updates in if you have it. That, that again, just helps us, and then it's a good habit for you to get into, also tracking the KPIs. If you have leads, if you have skip trace leads, this is all about phone calls with sellers and making offers. You want to be making 5 offers a week is the goal. You want to make serious money in real estate, which all of you do. Your offers number is going to be way higher than that on a weekly basis, but that's where we're going to start. So if you have skip trace leads, that is the goal. Either you or you're getting somebody on the phone that's making 5 offers a week. That is the, you know, at the end of the day, how does Rob get his business to where it is? They make more offers. That's it. I mean, you know, a lot of things lead up to it, but that is, if you're going to track one indicator of how you're doing, that would be the one. All right? So 5 offers this week. We'll have an update on our office hours again Thursday. Any questions in the meantime, shoot them into the coaching email. Be happy to get a reply to you. And have a good evening, everybody. Good talking to you. A lot of good stuff happening as always. Talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, everyone. Yep, get her done.